Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Down But Not Out, the show where founders tell their real-life stories of entrepreneurial resiliency. I started this show after my one company, VisitorQ, was dealt a death blow by Google that led to us almost losing all of our clients and all of our revenue. And that would have happened if it wasn't for the hard work, determination, and resiliency of our team. I love a good underdog. So these stories resonate more with me than the story of the $1 billion exit or the story about how your company IPO'd. These are stories of grit meant to inspire you, the listener, to keep fighting. As entrepreneurs and business owners, we will have our backs against the wall multiple times. So let hearing these stories be your fight song, your hoorah, that thing that gets you out of bed on those tough days. This episode is brought to you by my company, VisitorQ. Identify the anonymous companies visiting your website so your sales team can follow up with them. Start your 14-day free trial at visitorq.com. Now, let's dive into this episode. Today, I'm joined by Joe Dales, a household name in the agricultural and food industry throughout North America. Joe has been founding companies before it was cool and managed to not only ride the wave of the dot-com bubble, but build an iconic brand out of it in farms.com. Joe is a sought-after board member for a handful of companies, as well as the co-founder of the RH Accelerator in London, Canada, which is currently invested in 16 companies with the aim of helping the ecosystem in southwestern Ontario thrive. Knowing Joe personally, I can say he is the man to go to if you have a problem and or need to be introduced to someone, as he seems to always be one to two connections away from anyone. Joe, thanks for being on the show. Are you ready to share your down but not out story?
Yeah, thanks, Nick. I appreciate that. And yeah, my background, I've had a long career in the agriculture and food industry. And about 20 years ago, I don't usually tell this story, but it's usually a couple of beers in the bar story if you really want to hear it. But we had started farms.com and we're rolling along fairly well. We had raised a lot of venture capital. We had operations in Canada, and I moved down to Memphis, Tennessee with my family to get some of our U.S. operations up and running. And we had taken on, three VC partners, venture capital partners. And first, it was all predicated on a quick IPO, and we were well positioned for that with farms.com. But we missed the window, which is probably fine. But we still had a lot of cash, and we were building the company out. Brought in a new CEO, and he was fairly impatient with the growth opportunities. And after probably a year and a half, after probably 2001, they decided that they wanted to shut down the company. And because the VCs had all come in as pref shares and we were common, it was going to be a bit of a mess. And at the time, the company was burning a lot of cash because we had a lot of cash. They wanted growth. But there was quite a gap in profitability and, use the word burn rate in those days. So we basically didn't want it to go down, and we still wanted to do it. Like, we were bringing innovation to farmers. It was just way too early. We're still just learning to get on the internet, and the internet was early, but we were well positioned, and we had some good business models. They were just very immature. So, we kept the relationships with the VCs, and I basically went to them and said, let it go down on our watch and just leave us a bit of cash in the company and we'll unwind this. And so in a down round, we bought back the interest from the venture capitalists. We accomplished that. We had a bit of cash in the company. Everybody thought the company was going to fail. And so we had to restructure really hard. So we shut down a bunch of offices. We had to let a lot of really good people go. Probably went from 100 plus staff down to 20 plus and refocused. And if you weren't attached to revenue and line of sight to getting your business profitable, you know, yeah, we had to mothball some of those projects. And so we restructured, and in 6 months we were breaking even again, which was pretty remarkable. But just shows you when you solve problems and you focus and make things happen. And then, you know, for 20 years, we were able to build out farms.com and grow it out to, you know, now it's probably 120, 130 staff around the world and offices in Canada, the US, England, and Asia. So, you know, sometimes you have to do the hard stuff, a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of stress, but you realize it's a long game. And a lot of our staff that we spun out, we remained friends with, and some of them started companies. And so, you know, I look back and, you know, we still have good relationships with a lot of those people. It's just, you know, you need to be a creative problem solver.
Yeah. So you were a co-founder in farms.com, and now at that time, I think it was two brands or three brands, and now it's still multiple different brands as well. And great brands, recognizable. And as you said, it turned into a success. So you were a co-founder, new CEO was brought in. Turned out that you were burning too much cash in order to continue, which is why they wanted to shut it down.
We got to remember it was went from .com exuberance and IPOs to .bomb with no IPO and no exit, quick exit. And
so were you evaluated at similar to where the .coms were, where they were just getting these ridiculous evaluations, even though they didn't have the revenue and you guys had revenue, but you were aiming for that high growth, and then the bubble burst, and you were one of the casualties of that bubble bursting, it sounds like.
Well, it just expectations swung like crazy, right, in those days.
Yeah.
But we took advantage of the opportunity, you know, raised money in the US with some great venture capitalists and had a great run there on that. And then probably crazy expectations, but, you know, we just, you know, it was what it was, and we just restructured and then turned it into a real company. It just took longer and
yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned you laid off about 80% of employees, give or take. Yeah. I imagine that was pretty hard. And it doesn't sound like revenue took a big dip, because it was just you were projecting this growth.
Right.
And then,
we were just burning too much cash, right? So we needed to restructure on that. So and then actually afterwards, sales were, you know, we got focused and really built it out on real customers and real revenue, real focus.
Yeah. And you've been able to grow, as you said. So you went down to 20 employees, and now, as you mentioned, farms.com is at 120, 130, and revenues in the millions, obviously.
Great company. Very profitable, growing nicely, great, diversified product line, you know, everything from media properties to things like agcareers.com and careers in food very diversified.
You make it sound so easy, Joe. I imagine this is a very tough time, and maybe it's time that heals all.
And I think, I don't mean it to, it was pretty stressful at the time, right?
Yeah.
Because we thought we were going to lose everything. So what you learn is, you know, you just have to focus and try to get things done and deal with the challenge, right? And you realize it's not over until you say it's over. And I think, you know, at RHA, we try to teach all our founders, you know, be resilient, be creative, be resourceful, and then don't give up, right? You find if you don't give up, opportunities present themselves. And if you have confidence and if you've had some struggles before, it just gets it, you get better at it, right? And first few times, and I know you've had some challenges in your business, you know, the first few times, you know, it sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks all the time, but that's what we do.
Yeah. Right?
You know, we build companies and you overcome challenges creatively. And so, you know, I think the more you do it, the more confident you get in your team and yourself, your own ability, and you realize there are solutions. You know, you just have to do the hard stuff. And so, yeah, cutting staff's never fun. You know, you have no choice, right? You have to do what you have to do. So making those hard decisions is, you know, is critical.
Yeah. I like what you said there about it always sucks, but it always, you just get used to it, right? It's one of those things where it'll never get, it'll always hurt, but it just starts to hurt less as you've gone through it multiple times. I think that's an important point for anyone going through their first kind of big curveball or big crisis. Yeah. This is the first time, and this is going to be probably the worst. And you could deal with the exact same thing 2 years down the road, and it will feel a bit better because you've already dealt with it.
Well, and your confidence comes up too, right? And you know, you'll learn that great companies are born in the blast furnace, right? You know, what do they talk about? You know, diamonds come with pressure. Well,
yeah, that's where great entrepreneurs come from too, right?
That's why founders tip their hat to other founders, especially if you've had some success. Because, you know, we all know we had to make payroll. We all know when, you know, we lost big clients. We all know when we lost key staff. We all know when we had to restructure and pivot. And, you know, it the more you do of it, you don't sweat the small stuff, and you kind of manage what you can control. You know, what decisions can you make? What do you have to do to make it work? So, and the numbers are important, right? Never running out of cash, making sure you make those hard decisions, and then living with the consequences. If it doesn't work out, all right, what else can you do? So, you know, I wouldn't say it's lucky. I'd say it's just a process. I'd say it's a process, and you get better at it over time. And it's still stressful, though. It's always stressful.
Yeah, I like that point about every entrepreneur having their story, right? And going through it. And if you haven't yet, it's coming. It's on its way. If you stick around long enough and you take enough shots, something's gonna happen. Was there a point in time where you it sounded like the new CEO or part of the team at least wanted to fold up, this down round saved the company. Was there a part in there where you wanted to give up? It sounds like there were conversations in there. Walk us through that a bit.
No, the easy thing would have been to walk away and give up and start over. But we looked at it and we thought about it and we had enough confidence in ourselves that, you know, we'll fix this. And we'd had some other challenges over the years, you know, prior to this, where, you know, we were battle hardened a little bit and the downside wasn't so down. So, you know, you learn, you get a bit of a feel for your team, you get a feel for, you know, your abilities. And then, you know, the other thing that happens, I think too, is, you know, if you think of sports analogy, you know, if you're playing a great team and you rise to that occasion, and you win, you know, it's a great accomplishment. So fixing and turning around a company in a pretty tough situation, you know, really does give you confidence and it does kind of bulletproofs you. And so, you know, giving up, it's over. And so not giving up, sometimes you have to know, sometimes you do have to retreat and really pivot off something. But a lot of times, you know, the difference between winning and losing is kind of in your head. So, you know, you just decide you don't want to lose and be determined and persistent and resilient and all those things.
And almost with sports as well, I think entrepreneurship is difference between winning and losing is also just keep showing up. Just keep trying to play, keep playing, and you'll eventually, the more shots you take, the greater the chance that you'll
not being afraid to lose or not being afraid to, you know, win, I guess, right? You're absolutely right. showing up is half the battle, and being consistent and you know, not taking shortcuts and all those things. So yeah, it's fun.
Yeah,
I enjoy it.
Anything that you would do differently going through that experience? Yeah, not your whole career. I'm sure there's a few in there, but going through that experience, is there anything that you would change in hindsight?
You know, it's you kind of learn at the time in your career. You're young, you've never done certain things before. So, you know, if you could go back, yeah, you'd play the cards quite a bit differently. You'd played them now. But I try not to look back. I try to just look forward and just get better every day, right? So I was a little bit weak in corporate governance. I didn't understand how boards work just because I was a young founder. So since then, I've gotten better at it, you know, joined a bunch of boards, got trained myself, you know, now hopefully some of those lessons, you know, we'll be able to impart to our RHA companies. So it's just a continual improve yourself, right? So that's something that you can control, and you just put the work in, do the work.
I like that. That's a good lesson. I think there's always from these, the time I've done them, I think every one of them has their own takeaways of like, know your legal, know your corporate governance, ensure your tech stack is solid. There's always these little,
watch your cash flow.
Watch your cash flow is always a good one. I check mine weekly just to ensure I didn't miss anything. Mm-hmm. Was there something from your personality or background that kind of helped you get through this? From your, whether it's your upbringing or I don't know, just a character trait that you have?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think, founders that are, in the business world, you know, they maybe self-select. I tell people if you don't want to take on that risk and the pressure of being a founder, you know, just go get a good job, right? And mm-hmm. go for that. But if you do want to do that, you know, this is part of the price you pay to build companies. So, you know, it's not easy. It's not simple. And, you know, probably 90 out of 100 people don't even start. So, you know, people like you are rare to begin with. And then what do they say? 9 out of 10 startups fail. So you've got to be pretty darn good. And so working on yourself, and that's where, you know, Dave and Brian and I, you know, we try to work with you guys to make you better. The products will morph and change, and where you start and where you finish are two different things. But, you know, the founders in my mind are really critical, and founder development, you know, helping you guys. We can't do the work for you, but we can give you sounding boards. We can, you know, dust you off when you get, you know, kicked in the teeth and then pop you back out and then cheerlead for you really hard and say, hey, you can do this. You know, it's not rocket science, but it's going to challenge the living heck out of you.
Yeah. And just for context for everybody, Joe, Brian, and Dave are all the founders of RHA, Roundhouse Accelerator here in London, which Visitor Q is a part of. And when we went through our near-death experience, I remember Joe was there the whole time and would just tell me that it's not as bad as you think. Like, we've all gone through this. He would tell me his horror stories and be like, wow, that actually made me feel better.
Well, we just wanted you to be confident that you just had to fix it, right? You know,
and
you fix it or you won't, but don't give up. And, you know, and you pivoted hard and, you know, made it work. And we're really proud of you. And what that does the next time that happens, you know, you won't, you know, you just manage, you know, you get bigger at it, you get better at it. And then you can handle more complexity and bigger challenges. Right. So you've gotten over the first few hurdles and now you're, you know, ready for the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we were saying, the second and the third one, they still hurt, but they get easier. And that's the reason I started this was because hearing your stories and hearing everyone else go, oh, I've got a good story for you. Cause you're in the dirt right now and you're fighting for your life. You should hear this story about these people that did. You've shared a lot of good lessons so far. And I just want to, I guess, end it and ask, like, are there any other for the founder that's going through that hard time, or that they're in their pinch right now, or any other lessons that you haven't shared so far?
Well, I usually ask, young founders where they are in their financial accounting skills, because that's how the game is scored. So you really need to be good at accounting. And I wasn't, but I trained myself over the years to become really, really skilled at accounting. So I can look at statements now. I can look at the situation. I know where the money is and how it flows and stuff like that. So I encourage people, hey, if you don't have strong accounting, it's really how the game is scored. So being really good at business, it'll help you make better decisions, right? It's hard to be creative. It's hard to be right when you aren't quite sure, how the money flows and how everything works. So that's usually the one thing that I ask early founders. All right, if you're a tech founder, that's fine, but you're going to have to train yourself to be good at accounting.
Yeah, I think that's a good takeaway. A lot of the issues that we see are financial and cash flow based, right? Or it always comes down to the cash flow, because you need to ensure that you're protecting your bottom line, even if your problem wasn't directly related to cash flow. Okay, Joe, I appreciate you being on the show. Just a brief recap. You co-founded Farms.com. Things were going great throughout the early 2000 bubble burst. You had to downsize the company. It almost went under. You took a down round, saved it, and grew it to now being 130 employees and doing really well and doing great things for Southwestern Ontario. I know quite a few people that work there. And yeah, a great success story, a great down but not out story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think just the only other thing is just build your team, right? You can't do it all yourself. And I certainly was a small part of it was the team that did all the great things. I just am blessed to find some of them and I kind of really proud of how they reacted and built out a great company. So if you want to go far, go with the team. If you want to go fast, go by yourself, right? So
it's the words of a good leader there. They always default to the team, right? It's true. You really do need, you can only go so far by yourself or continue on. And that's I think an important lesson as well. As you're going through these moments, I think Joe would agree that I leaned a lot on my team. I was like, hey, I found inspiration from them. I found a lot of my will and my fight from talking to them and being able to motivate them motivated me, which was a good lesson as I went through that experience. Perfect. All right. Thank you, Joe, for sharing your down but not out story.